One of my absolute best friends for the last 30 years, who happens to be gay, and I love her dearly, who happens to have made a choice that isn't a choice that I have made, but I'm not going to judge people.
Certainly, I don't know all of the roughly 18,000 that we know of gay people in the state, but the people I know don't call her a friend.
Welcome to This Way Out, the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Ecuador's new constitution grants new lesbi-gay rights, Palin's debatable friendships are hometown tested, and crank up the volume while you're dancing out. All that and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Michael LeBeau.
And I'm John Torres.
With News Wrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending October 4th, 2008. Voters in the South American nation of Ecuador overwhelmingly approved a new constitution this week that guarantees civil rights for gays and lesbians and establishes civil unions for same-gender couples, giving them virtually all the rights of marriage. The nation's 20th constitution also helps leftist president Rafael Correa consolidate power and run for two more consecutive terms. He's a former economics minister and has made the economy a central issue during the first 2 years of his presidency. The new constitution also guarantees free education through college and pensions for stay-at-home mothers. Those provisions build on popular programs already established by Correa, to provide low-interest loans for small businesses, building materials for first-time homeowners, and free seeds for growing crops. Opponents worry that Correa's expanded authority will lead to actions similar to those of Venezuela's Hugo Chavez. But the Ecuadorian leader has reportedly maintained considerable political distance from Chavez and has no plans to consolidate his powers as much as Chavez has aggressively done.
But Portugal's Prime Minister José Sócrates has rejected proposals to legalize same-gender unions. Two measures to do that are scheduled for debate in Parliament this month. Unlike his socialist counterpart, José Luis Rodríguez Zapatero, who spearheaded marriage equality in neighboring Spain, Sócrates told the Portuguese Parliament that homosexual unions are not on the political agenda, repeating what he said 3 years ago during his election campaign. The issue has created sharp divisions among the country's progressive political parties. Greens MP Eloisa Apollonia, who's sponsoring one of two same-gender union proposals, told local media that this country, when it waits for the socialists to promote equality, is always put on hold.
Roman Catholic officials have rejected the first choice of the French government to be the country's ambassador to the Vatican because he's gay. Jean-Luc Condelforge, a career diplomat, is in a civil union with his same-gender partner. The Roman Catholic Church, of course, opposes LGBT rights and any attempts to protect or legally recognize lesbi-gay relationships. According to a report by Agence France-Presse, another candidate was rejected because he's divorced. That apparently didn't stop Pope Benedict XVI when he visited Paris last month from warmly greeting President Nicolas Sarkozy and his new wife, Carla Bruni. Sarkozy divorced his first wife to marry Bruni. France's ambassador to Moscow will take the Vatican post.
But openly gay lawyer and former Olympic fencer Sir Terence Etherton became a member of England's and Wales' second highest court in late September. The 58-year-old Etherton was sworn in as one of 36 judges who serve on the Court of Appeal. He's the first openly gay Lord Justice of Appeal and was formally recommended by Prime Minister Gordon Brown. Etherton told the Independent newspaper that his appointment shows that diversity in sexuality is not a bar to preferment up to the highest levels of the judiciary.
Elsewhere in Europe, the Athens Pride Committee staged a demonstration in front of the Greek Parliament this week in support of the mayor of the Aegean island of Tilos and the two same-gender couples he married in June. They're all in trouble with the court of first instance on the island of Rhodes, especially the mayor. Prosecutors want to nullify the marriages and convict Mayor Anastasios Alaferis of breach of duty, punishable by imprisonment for up to 5 years. Greece's marriage law doesn't specifically prohibit marriage between people of the same gender, But the nation's top public prosecutor, Georgios Tsonidas, has said that a constitutional article relating to family issues implies that marriage is only between a man and a woman.
A court in Rome last week ordered a trial for the two men arrested outside the ancient Colosseum in July 2007 and charged with committing lewd public acts. Defense lawyers for the men, identified only by their first names in media reports, Michelle and Roberto, say that it was just a kiss. The arresting officers claim that the two were engaging in oral sex. The defense team has unsuccessfully sought video footage from nearby security cameras to show that the charges are unwarranted. The prosecuting magistrate claims that the lighting was poor and that the issue was too complex to be judicially relevant. Aurelio Mancuso, who leads one of Italy's major LGBT rights groups, Arcigay, told reporters that homosexuality is being punished, not an obscene act. The trial is scheduled to begin in February. The defendants face up to 3 years in prison if they're convicted.
Police in Uganda arrested two high-profile activists described as male-to-female transgender gay and brutally detained them for a week in mid-September, according to a report by the U.S.-based International Gay and Lesbian Human Rights Commission, or IGLHRC. Georgina Oundo and Brenda Kiza were taken into custody at Oundo's home near Kampala and held at the Nabweru Village Police Station. IGLHRC says they were beaten, kicked, denied food, and pressured to reveal names and addresses of other LGBT activists. Human Rights Watch has charged that police also copied the activists' cell phone address books. Oundo and Kiza have been accused of spreading homosexuality, although IGLHRC says no such crime exists in the African nation. But consensual adult gay sex is illegal in Uganda and punishable by up to life in prison. Police say that their investigation remains open and that they'll seek additional evidence to bring the activists before a court. In the past 5 years, nearly a dozen people have been arrested on charges related to homosexuality in Uganda.
Meanwhile, some people apparently believe it's still acceptable to call for the deaths of gays and lesbians. In Australia and Canada? The Anti-Discrimination Tribunal in the Australian state of Queensland found Ron Owen, the publisher of an ultra-right-wing pro-militia magazine called Lock, Stock, and Barrel, guilty of inciting hatred against homosexuals for displaying a bumper sticker on his car parked outside government offices near Brisbane that said, "Gay rights, under God's law, the only rights gays have is the right to die." Several local lesbians took Owen to the tribunal, which awarded damages to two of them of $5,000 and a third with $2,500. Tribunal member Daryl Rangia's 77-page decision also ordered Owen, a former local elected official, to publish a written apology. "Ron Owen is entitled to publicly express his homophobic views," he wrote. "That much is required in a society that values freedom of thought and expression. However," Rangia concluded, "there are limits." Owen has vowed to appeal the ruling.
And David Popescu, who's running for a seat in the Canadian Parliament, told a candidates' forum held for students at Sudbury Secondary School in the province of Ontario that homosexuals should be executed. Police are investigating his remarks under Canada's hate crime law, which makes it a federal offense to promote hatred or incite violence against minorities, including gays and lesbians. Popescu acknowledged making the comments in an interview with the Sudbury Star newspaper. "A young man asked me what I think of homosexual marriages, and I said I think homosexuals should be executed," he said. "My whole reason for running is the Bible, and the Bible couldn't be more clear on that point." Canadians go to the polls on October 14th to elect a new government.
A gay and lesbian film festival scheduled to open in the Russian city of St. Petersburg this week was shut down before it could begin, after fire inspectors claimed that the two venues hosting it were unsafe. The scheduled four-day festival, called Side by Side, was to show 17 feature films and 5 shorts in 2 nightclubs, The Place and Sochi, each popular with students, artists, and expats. A number of filmmakers from the U.S. and Europe, including John Cameron Mitchell, best known for Hedwig and the Angry Inch and Short Bus, were also scheduled to make personal appearances during the screenings. Organizers had moved the festival to the 2 nightclubs a month earlier, after the original venue terminated their contract for what they called technical reasons. Irina Sergeyeva, one of the three organizers of the festival, told the St. Petersburg Times that they were indignant, upset, and distressed, and implied that local officials had orchestrated the shutdown.
And finally, a much-anticipated film chronicling the life of San Francisco supervisor Harvey Milk from openly gay director Gus Van Sant and starring Sean Penn in the title role is scheduled to be released in December. But California's Republican Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger has vetoed a bill written by openly gay assemblyman Mark Leno of San Francisco that would have designated May 22nd, Milk's birthday, as a statewide Day of Significance. Schwarzenegger has signed several pieces of pro-LGBT legislation during his tenure, but vetoed two marriage equality bills passed by the legislature. He is nevertheless publicly opposing a November ballot measure to revoke that right ordered by the state Supreme Court in May. Harvey Milk was one of the first openly gay men in the U.S. to be elected to public office as a San Francisco supervisor in 1977. He and then-Mayor George Moscone were assassinated by Dan White, a disgruntled right-wing former supervisor, in 1978. By refusing to sign the bill honoring Milk, Schwarzenegger apparently bowed to right-wing groups that had mounted a massive Contact the Governor campaign against it. In his veto message, Schwarzenegger said that Milk should continue to be recognized at the local level.
That's News Wrap for the week ending October 4th, 2008, written by Gray Gordon and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community. For This Way Out, I'm Michael LeBeau.
And I'm John Torres.
Can the GOP's vice presidential nominee make the Democrats' lesbi-gay supportive record seem pale in comparison? We'll let you decide after this important message.
We've got good news, bad news, and good news about your favorite international LGBT radio program. The good news is that you can now hear free podcasts of This Way Out. To subscribe, log on to www.thiswayout.org. The bad news is that we're still owed thousands of dollars from our former online outlet, and that puts This Way Out in serious financial jeopardy. Stations get the program from us for free. You can get the podcast for free. We're also free of corporate sponsors. Producing and distributing the program, however, is not free. But the other good news is that This Way Out's unique on-the-scene reports covering the fight for same-gender marriage equality, from the world's first legal weddings in the Netherlands to the victories in Canada, Massachusetts, and California, are now available in a 2-CD collection called Altard States. This Way Out listener supporters can get this and other special programs by visiting our website. Please say, I do, at www.thiswayout.org.
In the U.S. this week, the headline-making machine belonged to Republican vice presidential candidate Sarah Palin. First, the Alaska governor drew a low score in another big network news interview. That questionable outing set the stage for Palin's only shot at her Democratic counterpart, Senator Joe Biden, in a one-on-one debate. Then, against the backdrop of her lesbi-gay-related comments at those events, a major queer advocacy group revealed the Palin-related sentiments of LGBT activists in her own hometown. Palin has mostly been shielded from the press, so every word counted when she met up with CBS's Katie Couric. Few of those words counted in her favor, as she failed to recall any significant Supreme Court rulings other than the pro-choice landmark Roe v. Wade, and then couldn't name any news publications she regularly reads. Couric also zeroed in on Palin's religious views and how they affect her position on LGBT civil rights.
The governor told us, though she's not a member of any church, she visits a couple of them regularly when she's home. She took issue with news reports that one of them, the Wasilla Bible Church, sponsored a conference where gays could be made straight through prayer.
When the media gets it wrong, it frustrates Americans who are just trying to get the facts and be able to make up their mind on about a person's values. And, you know, I don't know what prayers are worthy of being prayed, and I don't know what prayers are going to be answered or not answered. But as for homosexuality, I am not going to judge Americans and the decisions that they make in their adult personal relationships. I have
one of my absolute best friends for the last 30 years, who happens to be gay, and I love her dearly, and she is not my gay friend. She is one of my best friends who happens to have made a choice that isn't a choice that I have made, but I'm not going to judge people.
More people tuned in for the October 2nd Palin-Biden debate than watched the first contest between presidential candidates John McCain and Barack Obama the previous week. Moderator Gwen Ifill asked Biden to compare his stance on same-gender couples' benefits to Alaska's law granting them. But Ifill first erroneously implied that Palin had supported those benefits, which started the music for the dance she was able to do around the question.
Do you support, as they do in Alaska, granting same-sex benefits to couples?
Absolutely. Do I support granting same-sex benefits? Absolutely, positively. Look, in an Obama-Biden administration, there will be absolutely no distinction from a constitutional standpoint or a legal standpoint between a same-sex and a heterosexual couple. The fact of the matter is that under the Constitution, we should be granted, same-sex couples should be able to have visitation rights in the hospital, joint ownership of property, life insurance policies, etc. That's only fair. It's what the Constitution calls for. And so we do support making sure that committed couples in the same-sex marriage are guaranteed the same constitutional benefits as it relates to their property rights, their rights of visitation, their rights of insurance, their rights of ownership, as heterosexual couples do.
Governor, would you support expanding that beyond Alaska to the rest of the nation?
Well, not if it goes closer and closer towards redefining the traditional definition of marriage between one man and one woman. And unfortunately, that's sometimes where those steps lead. But I also want to clarify, if there's any kind of suggestion at all from my answer, that I would be anything but tolerant of adults in America choosing their partners, choosing relationships that they deem best for themselves. You know, I am tolerant, and I have a very diverse family and group of friends, and even within that group, you would see some who may not agree with me on this issue, some very dear friends who don't agree with me on this issue. But in that tolerance also, no one would ever propose, not in a McCain-Palin administration, to do anything to prohibit, say, visitations in a hospital or contracts being signed, negotiated between parties. But I will tell Americans straight up that I don't support defining marriage as anything but between one man and one woman. And I think through nuances, we could go round and round about what that actually means. But I'm being as straight up with Americans as I can in my non-support for anything but a traditional definition of marriage.
Let's try to avoid nuance, Senator. Do you support gay marriage?
No, Barack Obama nor I support redefining from a civil side what constitutes marriage. We do not support that. That is basically a decision to be able to be left to the faith and people who practice their faith, the determination what you call it. The bottom line, though, is, and I'm glad to hear the governor, I take her at her word, obviously, that she thinks there should be no civil rights distinction, none whatsoever, between a committed gay couple and a committed heterosexual couple. If that's the case, we really don't have a difference.
Is that what you said?
Your question to him was whether he supported gay marriage, and my answer is the same as his, and it is that I do not.
Wonderful. You agree. On that note, let's move to foreign policy.
Palin's contention that some of her best friends are raised the curiosity of the Human Rights Campaign. The advocacy organization sent staff member Michael Cole to Wasilla, Alaska, in search of LGBT activists in the governor's hometown.
To be honest, I didn't expect to find many gay, lesbian, bisexual, or transgender people in Wasilla, but we met dozens in the small town. Unfortunately, many were afraid to be on camera.
Primarily because of this vice presidential nomination. And I teach 400 plus children, every kiddo that goes to my school. And all it takes is one family to make life very difficult.
What people told me is that Wasilla wasn't always like this. The two powerful churches that Sarah Palin has belonged to turned their fundamentalist ideology into a political mission, and life changed here.
Sarah was a member of the Assembly of God Church in Wasilla, which are pretty much the most fundamentalist anti-gay groups in Alaska.
They became very politically active and Sarah was a part of that movement.
There was a huge influence of religion, and that's really across the state. In Wasilla, in terms of Sarah Palin, I know that she put a lot of people in position who are associated with her church.
Certainly we have religious freedom in this country, thank goodness, but it seemed oftentimes that her religious values intersected oftentimes with her role in the state and her role as mayor.
In the scandal over banning books at the town library, the right wing started exerting their newfound power.
When Sarah became mayor, the way she tells the story, she was just asking rhetorical questions of the library about censorship. But this was while the church was actively picketing to have several gay children's books removed from the shelves. Pastor, I Am Gay was one of the books that the Assembly of God Church wanted to get off the shelves and lock up, and that Sarah Palin wanted to get off the shelves and lock up.
When we put them in the Wasilla Library, the first two copies just disappeared. You know? And so we put more in, and we know that on three occasions she talked to the librarian about removing certain books.
For the folks I met, the thing that scares them most are the infamous ex-gay ministries.
You know, she comes from a religious ideology and a church organization that supports conversion therapy or reparative therapy. And as a therapist, the thought of someone at that high a level who supports that is terrifying.
Her church was one of the sponsors of a recent conference in Anchorage about changing homosexuals to heterosexuals through prayer. I have a lot of friends who have gone through the torture of change, you know, programs. They're awful, they're cruel.
I pray about that a lot because her concept of, quote, family values, unquote, is just so anathema to the idea that gay and lesbian people have a right to exist, that we have a right to live as decent, common folks.
Despite all of this, Sarah Palin has said she has gay friends.
I know there have been rumors that, you know, she has gay friends here and is gay friendly, and certainly I don't know all of the roughly 18,000 that we know of gay people in the state, but the people I know don't call her a friend.
I think we need to be a community. We need to be, you know, united in this. Have to just put our foot down and say we're not going to accept it. We're not going to accept being marginalized or made second-class people.
That's my experience of her as a mayor. She does the same thing as a governor for the state, and it scares the crap out of me what might happen if she becomes the vice president. Because she'll do it to the country. I mean, I think she's worse than Dick Cheney and a better shot.
I'm coming out against Sarah Palin.
I am coming out against Sarah Palin.
I'm coming out against Sarah Palin.
I am as opposed to the election of Sarah Palin as a person can be.
The Human Rights Campaign's Michael Cole spoke with activists Jamie Rodriguez and Breon Lyons, Pastor I Am Gay author Reverend Howard Bess, Dr. Marky Bloomer, and an anonymous teacher in Governor Sarah Palin's Wasilla, Alaska. For more information, log on to www.hrc.org. And speaking of coming out, the big day for it is October 11th. The 20th annual National Coming Out Day commemorates the 1987 National March on Washington for LGBT rights. Gay radio producer Buddy Johnston brewed this tuneful coming out mix featuring organizer-entertainer Robin Tyler and assassinated San Francisco supervisor Harvey Milk.
Count of the election. you may all come out.
They don't understand something. We are not talking about white politics. This is not a movement from the waist down. We are talking about our right to love and to choose and to live. And I don't care about street tolerance. And I don't care about street understanding. You better hear me in Washington. We are demanding. We are demanding our civil rights.
And I ask people all over this country to do one thing. We must destroy the myths once and for all, shatter them. We must continue to speak out, and most importantly, every gay person must come out.
Harvey, do you have a few words for KBFA?
Come on out. Join us.
Tell your immediate family, you must tell your relatives, you must tell your friends if indeed they are your friends, you must tell your neighbors, you must tell the people you work with, you must tell the people in the stores you shop in. Once they realize that we are indeed their children and we are indeed everywhere, every myth, every lie, every innuendo will be destroyed once and for all. And I ask people all over this country to do one thing. Come out! Come out, America! Come out!
Thanks for tuning in to This Way Out, the International Gay and Lesbian Radio Magazine. This week, Michael LeBeau, John Torres, Rex Walkner with Bill Kelly, and Sherry Lund contributed program material. You heard a special mix by Buddy Johnston of Pamela Stanley singing Coming Out of Hiding, with our thanks to J.D. Doyle, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out is made possible by charitable donations from our listeners. Thank you. Log on to thiswayout.org to subscribe to podcasts of your favorite international LGBT radio show. You can also subscribe to CDs or cassettes of our programs and support our work there. To receive our weekly program email alerts, email tworadio@aol.com. You can also write to us at P.O. Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening on 5CST Southwest Adelaide, South Australia, Radio Veronica, West Point, Pennsylvania, WWUH, West Hartford, Connecticut, and more than 175 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Stay tuned.